Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Childcare is a huge challenge for most American working families. Hillary, It Takes a Village Clinton has been on it for years, pushing for more support. Now, the Republican candidate, Donald Trump, in need of women's votes, has picked up the issue, too. This is unusual. This hour on Point, we're comparing Clinton and Trump's proposals on childcare. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Are you struggling to pay for childcare? Could you afford to take parental leave? And what do you see in the plans of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Hillary Clinton has talked about child care for a long time, come out with new proposals in this campaign season. In her speech at the Democratic National Convention in July, she said family work issues are solidly on her agenda.
We will help you balance family and work. And you know what? If fighting for affordable child care and paid family leave is playing the woman card, then deal me in.
Deal her in. Donald Trump could use a couple of women cards himself, looking for that female vote. And he's got Ivanka Trump at his side talking about it lately. Yesterday in Aston, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, in the key swing state of Pennsylvania, Donald Trump said he recognized child care costs are high.
For many families in our country, child care is now the single largest expense. Who would think that? Even more so than housing.
And he's going to use income tax deductions to make it more affordable, he said.
The first part of my child care plan allows for every parent or family in America, including adoptive parents and foster parent guardians, to deduct their child care expenses from their income taxes. That's a first.
Both candidates on this now, that is unusual. We want to dig in and see who's offering what and how they would pay for it. Joining me now from Washington to help unpack the candidates' proposals is Danielle Paquette. She covers gender and public policy for The Washington Post. Danielle Paquette, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom.
Let's see. They both had proposals out there in August. You said, you know, I think I read you saying neither of these covers the whole waterfront. How do you compare the two plans now, Hillary and Donald?
I think it's safe to say they're wildly different. Trump, as you just heard, he is tackling a large part of this issue through the tax code. Like he just said, he wants to let working parents deduct child care expenses for up to four kids from their income taxes. They're working to pay for this by, they say, closing loopholes in the tax code. It's unclear how they could actually achieve that. But it's interesting because when Trump first rolled this out, he received criticism from economists saying, hey, this is only going to benefit wealthier families. So his campaign pivoted this week and said that they would help the lower earning folks get a little extra money through creating childcare spending rebates through the existing earned income tax credit. And that could translate to roughly $1,200 a year per eligible family.
$1,200 a year, but I'm reading here in Washington, D.C., for example, the average yearly cost of daycare is $22,000.
That's right. D.C. is the highest in the country. The costs vary nationwide from about $3,000 a year in some states to roughly $22,000 in D.C.
We're talking very big numbers here. What else is in Trump's plan? I want to come back and dig into how those deductions would work and the rebates would work. He's got maternity leave. This is paid maternity leave. This is not traditionally a Republican platform item.
That's right. Actually, Trump appears to be building on a Bill Clinton plan from 1999. It was previously called the baby unemployment insurance. Trump wants to guarantee 6 weeks of paid maternity leave. Fathers wouldn't be eligible for the benefit, though. And new moms could receive the partial wages. The amount has not been specified through a change to unemployment insurance, which would open the money to them.
A change in unemployment insurance. What kind of change? A lot of Americans have relied on unemployment insurance in recent years.
Right. So today, people can get unemployment benefits if they lose their job or they fall out of work at no fault of their own. Under the Trump plan, mothers could apply for the benefits and receive, like I said, the 6 weeks paid off. They're proposing paying for this tweak by getting rid of unemployment insurance fraud, which is estimated at about $3.4 billion.
What's the estimated cost of the Trump plan that he's trying to pay for with that?
The campaign says $2.5 billion. This will be tricky, though, because people have been trying to get rid of unemployment fraud for quite a while. And what they mean by unemployment fraud is the money going to people who have deceased and the government hasn't learned of that yet, or people who are behind bars, or people who shouldn't be receiving the money who are doing it or are receiving it anyway.
So 6 weeks paid maternity leave for moms. Some question about how that would be paid for. And tax deductions, increased deductions for working people. Earlier it was said that would be mainly for middle and upper income families. Now a little $1,200 tax rebate for lower income families. What about on the Hillary Clinton side?
So Hillary Clinton essentially wants to transform the American childcare landscape. She wants to cap the expense at 10% of a household's income, and she aims to do this with a combination of new subsidies, new tax credits. Her campaign says this amounts to a huge public investment.
To cap it at 10% of household income, and what would that be used for? That's like all childcare expenses? You wouldn't have to pay more than 10% of your household earnings?
Yeah, that is her goal. And she wants to do this by expanding the available programs and driving the cost down with new federal funding to the point where any family anywhere would only have to spend that much of their household income compared to some families today might spend half. I mean, childcare competes with the mortgage payment oftentimes.
In something like 30 out of 50 states, I've seen that competition is pretty neck and neck. With that plan, would that put the United States for the first time in the realm of the way Europe treats childcare and helps families cover it? Or would we still be out? I mean, we've been out on pretty lean gruel when it came to public support for raising kids in this country compared to developed nations across the Atlantic.
We have. We don't offer very robust public child care. There are some safety nets for lower earning families, vouchers, for example, to pay for a spot in a daycare. Too often, though, advocates say the waiting lists stretch on, and these families won't have access to that spot for up to a month. And that could mean losing a job. That could mean putting your child in a dangerous situation, leaving your child in a car, getting arrested while you go for a job interview, as has happened to parents in the past.
On the leave front, Trump says 6 weeks for moms. Hillary says 12 weeks paid for moms and for dads.
That's right. Hillary wants to open this to both mothers and fathers. Her campaign acknowledges that primary caretakers don't have one gender. You know, there are plenty of fathers raising kids, too. Mm-hmm. She also wants to guarantee this leave will cover 2/3 of wages. Donald Trump's plan, again, we don't know how much of their wages would be covered through the tweak in the unemployment insurance. And Hillary proposes funding this new public benefit through tax hikes on the wealthy, or as her campaign puts it, making sure the high earners are, quote, paying their fair share.
So what about paying on that side? Does she have a plan to pay for all that leave?
Through the tax hikes, yes. Her whole child care proposal put together, her aides say that could cost roughly $200 billion. They say that sounds like a lot.
Sound like a lot, doesn't it?
It is. It's definitely a lot, of course. The campaign says it'll end up paying for itself because of the increased labor force participation, improved children's health, they say. They also say that kids who receive steady care do better in school, are less likely to end up in the criminal justice system.
What about when we get to Congress with these plans? Do Democrats, just for starters, support Hillary? Do Republicans, would they support Trump?
This has been very interesting to follow, covering gender this election, because, as you noted earlier, never before has a Republican presidential nominee rolled out a child care plan. They rarely even address child care on the campaign. So I've been talking to some conservative economists, conservative think tankers, and some see this child care plan as just an expansion of a government program. Some don't believe that it will end up being cost-free to businesses. They believe that somehow this cost will fall on the employer's shoulders, and that will, of course, translate to workers' wages.
What about Democrats with Hillary? I mean, $200 billion plus is a lot as well. Does she have party support for her plans?
As far as I've heard, she does. And that's less surprising because Democrats have been pushing some version of this plan for quite a while. They really just want to see new child care in America. They believe the support we have today is insufficient, and that's bad for the kids, that's bad for families, that's bad for GDP. So that's not very surprising. It might sound like a lot, but they're trying to basically redo everything.
Danielle, stand by. We're going to hear in a moment from a Trump supporter. Right now, Carmel Martin is with us. She's Executive Vice President of Policy at the Center for American Progress. Carmel Martin, thank you very much for being with us. What do you think of the Trump plan rolled out yesterday compared to Hillary Clinton's proposal?
Thanks for having me. I mean, I think the Trump is putting a lot of rhetoric in this space, but I don't think he has real plans. And to the extent he does, there are plans that help higher income folks and do very little for low income folks. In terms of paid leave, he doesn't have a plan to pay for it.
I mean, he says he does. He says,
robbing Peter to pay Paul. I mean,
Up fraud in unemployment insurance.
First of all, he's overstating the amount of fraud that exists in the program, and the experts will tell you the best way to clean that up is to invest in state agencies. It's not fraud. There's very little fraud. Most of the overpayments are overpayments that are mistakes, and the best way to clean that up is to fund the agencies that are designated to send out those payments. But that aside, the program itself is woefully underfunded. So to the extent that there's funds that can be recaptured, it should be funneled back into unemployment insurance because there's not enough funding in the program to begin with.
Can we afford Hillary Clinton's plans?
Yes, we need to afford it because it's something families need to be able to stay in the workforce and be productive workers. It's also something we need to do to invest in our future workforce in terms of making sure children start out life on the right footing and are able to go on to college and become productive workers themselves.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about child care and the 2016 presidential race. Hillary Clinton has always said it takes a village. Now Donald Trump says, I'll help you too. Both candidates now say they want to do more. This is maybe unprecedented if you look at Republican and Democratic candidates over the history of American campaigns. You can join us this hour. What do you think? How high is child care on your list of issues this year? Is child care busting your family budget? Is it time, high time, the U.S. did more to help working families with kids? Can we afford it? Danielle Paquette is with us. She's Wonk Blog reporter for The Washington Post, covers gender and public policy. Carmel Martin is here. She's from the Center for American Progress. You just heard her critical of the Trump plan, more supportive of the Clinton plan. Stephen Moore will join us in a moment. He supports Donald Trump on this front. Ivanka Trump, daughter of Donald Trump, mother now of three, she had a baby earlier this year, spoke up at the Republican National Convention in July, saying that as a mother, she understands why working American moms need support.
As a mother myself of three young children, I know how hard it is to work while raising a family. And I also know that I'm far more fortunate than most. American families need relief. Policies that allow women with children to thrive should not be novelties. They should be the norm.
They should be the norm. Donald Trump has been flagging badly in terms of female support in polling. He needs those women's votes. In August, he came out with a plan built around tax deductions for child care expenses. People criticized that, said it was just for middle and upper class Americans, essentially. Yesterday, he said, you know, we're going to bring this right on down to working class families.
Because of the way the benefit is capped and structured, our plan will bring relief to working and middle-class families.
Hillary Clinton, well, she's got more on the table. 12 weeks, not six. A little more granular in describing what the pay would be. A lot more, I guess. And for moms and dads. Carmel, Danielle, please stand by. We've got a lot of callers on this front. Bree in Nashville, Tennessee. Bree, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. I'm just calling because I really do understand a lot of what you're talking about in terms of it's really great that Ivanka, she can have the three children, but currently where I am right now, me and my husband are really considering just only having the one child just because it's really kind of unconscionable to do all of this over again to pay for daycare a second time. So it's just in terms of like our families, it's just, are we going to pay for daycare or what about all of our student loans and things like that? So there are a lot of financial concerns when it comes to having children, and we would like to have them. But both of us, we have our masters. We're both, like, middle income. We have, like, the money to do it, but we also know that it would make a big strain on our family going forward.
You think you can't really afford more than one child?
I think that it's just in terms of right now we're paying $200 a week for child care. So it's just when we were looking at different options, we were at the in-home daycare. It was $130, and so we had to switch. And so when we were searching for, like, a new daycare for our daughter, it was, like, $200, $225, or you go to places that have tuition, and they were saying they wanted $1,200 a month, $1,600 a month. And it just got to be, you know, she spends most of her day napping. She's two. Like, how does it get to be like this expensive to have children?
Yeah.
So when it just comes down to it, the quality of the child care, because, I mean, the cheaper it is, you can sometimes suffer in terms of the quality that you're going to put your child. So I would say, like, the child care is a very, really, it's a salient issue for my family in terms of, like, how we're going to expand our family and then how do we, like, go forward and manage without carrying a huge debt load, paying for daycare, paying for all these other things.
Yeah, the works. Bree, we've got it. I appreciate your call from Nashville. Carmel Martin, Donald Trump was criticized before because people said, well, this just doesn't get down to the income tier where many American families are struggling to deal with this. Now he's got a $1,200 tax rebate, he says, he'll build in here. How far does that go to helping if you're, you know, lower middle income or low income American?
It's just not enough. I mean, in many places, child care, as the caller pointed out, can cost $10,000 or more a year, and $1,200 a year is just not what they need to be able to make ends meet. And especially in a plan that, on the flip side, gives higher income families thousands of dollars more. Under his plan, somebody making $500,000 a year, and those families are eligible under his plan, could get as much as $6,000 to $7,000 in a tax cut in a world where people who are really struggling to be able to pay their bills is only getting several hundred dollars. So I think it's just, it has it backwards. It's giving highly regressive, gives the biggest benefits to the people who need it the least, and doesn't give the people who need it the most what they need to be able to succeed. I also just wanted to point out, as Danielle mentioned, the existing programs that help low-income people go send their children to child care. It's not that they can't get the slot, that the slot's not available. The program is insufficiently funding, so only one out of six eligible families actually receive assistance under that program. Hillary Clinton would tackle that. Donald Trump would not. He just, once again, his focus, just like so many of his proposals, are on people who, high-income people, not low- and middle-income people who need it the most. He's got a lot of rhetoric about helping working families, but his proposals just don't do that. The same with paid leave. He's only gives it to women who've given birth. That completely ignores the reality of American families, where it's both parents who are responsible for taking care of their children, and ignores the fact that American families need help when they themselves are sick or when members of their family are sick and they need to take time off. People at higher incomes, they get paid leave through their employer, but people at all incomes have to face those challenges. Hillary Clinton would provide a program that would assist all Americans, and her program is paid for by taking away corporate loopholes and reducing tax breaks for people on Wall Street, where Donald Trump would pay for his paltry program that really wouldn't give people what they need by pitting workers against workers. The most vulnerable workers would lose benefits under his proposal.
Danielle, is it fair to call this plan paltry?
Well, it just doesn't reach, like Carmel said, half of the people who are raising kids, the dads. I don't know if I'd say paltry. I can't really have opinions as a reporter, but the families I have heard from are not all, it's not just women who are raising these babies. And they also, they keep saying, as the caller mentioned earlier, that the lack of support existing today, it's affecting their most intimate choices. They're deciding not to have that second baby.
Here's Hillary Clinton talking about this issue in May in Louisville, Kentucky, said that child care tax relief is crucial.
High-quality child care is as expensive in many states as paying tuition to go to college. So it just doesn't make sense. I mean, it's the most important job that any of us can do, and we're making it really expensive and very difficult.
And fundamentally, she says her plan is to cap at a portion of a family's income what they pay for child care, a portion 10%.
I don't think any family should have to pay more than 10% of their income for child care. That ought to be just a rule, and you ought to get help if you're getting too close to that or going above it.
Danielle, does that mean by definition that her plan is not regressive, as Carmel says Donald Trump's is?
Well, it would essentially expand this safety net for people. It would grow on the efforts out there.
Tom, if I could just jump in.
Yes, please.
And you mentioned earlier that in response to criticism, he added this cap. You played a clip where he said he capped his proposal so very wealthy people like him couldn't benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's smoke and mirrors. At the same time, in this proposal, he added a component that would have a savings plan that when you think about it, who's best positioned to sock away money in a savings plan for things like childcare? He also allows the money to be socked away for private tutors, private schools, nannies. The people who are able to take advantage of that are people like him and Ivanka, people, higher income people, and there's no cap on that proposal. And I think he thinks we're going to miss that point, that he caps on the one hand, but then he opened up another avenue to provide a tax shelter for higher income people. And Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, it's absolutely progressive because it's based on you paying no more than a certain percentage of your income. So the benefits, it's just math. The benefits are going to be much higher for low income people than for high income people. People making hundreds of thousands of dollars, 10% of their income is enough to pay for child care, often.
Danielle, is it a nanny pay plan, this Trump plan that would let you put, is it in a tax-free savings for child care?
So he'd let parents stash away tax-free money, and that money could grow without being taxed over the years. He calls it the dependent care savings account, and that's an idea I've heard from other conservative thinkers.
But, I mean, Carmel says, well, that's that will let the very affluent sock away tons to pay for, you know, the governess flown in from I don't know where. Is that what it looks like to you?
Well, the affluent would benefit more from a program like this because the low-income earners have less to put away if they can afford to put away money at all.
Rachel in Hogansburg, New York. Thank you for calling, Rachel. You're on the air.
Hello, Tom. I just wanted to speak to being a parent, that when my first child was born, I actually chose to quit my job because of the amount of income that I'd be bringing home after childcare and insurance was so minimal. And I was fortunate enough to have a partner that got us by, you know, not with a lot, but got us by so that I could stay home. I also live in a border community where Canada gives a year of the leave for parents versus the 6 weeks, which is so inadequate and necessary that we restructure our system and our whole program to support families. And my biggest concern is single parents and how they would be supported through this because their options are already so limited.
Do you find that these costs have impacted or have affected the way you're living your life, Rachel, the way you're working or not working?
No, most definitely. No, I quit my job. I was going to be bringing home less than $200 a month for my full-time job that actually had a daycare in-house but couldn't afford the daycare with insurance because I was ineligible for any other insurance and it was available through my job. So the choice to stay home was actually the best financial decision that I had, but it did make us restructure our entire living situation and then finding a job where I could afford child care was, you know, it's very challenging.
Rachel, did you say you were going to make $200 a month for a full-time job?
Once I paid the expensive insurance and childcare costs, yeah, that was going to be about what it was going to be.
Wow!
After all the costs,
yeah, that's pretty rough, and that's the take home after all these costs. I mean, Danielle Paquette, is there evidence that these childcare costs are pushing Americans out of the workforce? That they just can't afford to be out there because it costs too much to find somebody to take care of the baby, the toddler, the child.
Oh, yeah. At the Post, we did a survey last year, and about 3/4 of parents said they'd either scaled back at work or dropped out of the labor force entirely because childcare expenses would exceed the money that they could take home. Or like Rachel said, it would end up being something like $200. So you see people who want to work but truly believe that they can't afford to because now they have a kid.
And Tom, just if I could jump in, we've done a lot of work here at the Center for American Progress around the economic costs of that choice to the broader society, because women are forced to make that. I mean, anyone who wants to stay home with their child should be able to do that. But many women like the caller are doing it because they feel forced to do it. But something that we need to appreciate is that there's not just the loss to the family of that income, the $200 that's left over per month that they would have gotten paid if they were working, but then when women go back into the workforce, they're never able to make up for that absence from the workforce. Their earnings are depressed. They haven't contributed to retirement funds. So we have a calculator on our website that shows, allows people to put in their information and show what the lifetime cost of that is. So for example, a typical 26-year-old mother who steps out of the workforce for these reasons could lose up to $467,000 over their lifetime because of that absence from the workforce.
So that is a lot. We're looking at the plans on the table now from Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Here was Donald Trump last night outside of Philadelphia talking about his plans for maternity leave, the first for a Republican presidential candidate.
By recapturing fraud and improper payments in the unemployment insurance program, we can provide 6 weeks of paid maternity leave to any mother with a newborn child whose employer does not provide the benefit.
Donald Trump jumping in where no Republican presidential candidate, no frontrunner has gone before. With us right now from Raleigh, North Carolina, is Stephen Moore, Heritage Foundation economist, economic advisor to Donald Trump, founder of the Club for Growth Conservative PAC in 1999. Steve Moore, welcome to On Point. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
This is really kind of freaky, seeing a Republican out here pushing on this front. And in the past, I can imagine something that you would have attacked. Do you support this in Trump's portfolio, Steve?
Well, you know, it's an interesting story, Tom. I mean, I've been involved in helping Donald Trump, you know, devise his pro-growth tax plan, and we spent many months working on it, and we think we have a really good plan. And right when we were finalizing it, Ivanka Trump, you know, came in and said, look, you know, we have to do something for working women, and because of all the expenses with childcare that you've been talking about on the show for the last half hour. And, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, I'm a guy. I don't pay the child care expenses, and you know, it takes a woman to know about the importance of this issue. And thank God she kind of intervened, and we looked into it, and we said, gosh, she's right. You know, these expenses are getting higher every year, and we really wanted to do something to help working women.
I think a lot of guys know about it at this point too, given what a hole it can blow in a family budget. But in the past,
yeah,
Steve,
right,
conservative Republicans have said, you know, this is going to be a drag on American business. We can't have all this leave. There's been pretty much a full wall of resistance to this. What about now?
But Tom, there's a difference, though. I don't want to put the burden of this on businesses. Now, some businesses do provide family leave, and they provide, you know, benefits, but some can't afford to. They don't have enough profits to do that. So what we basically said is if your employer does not provide for these kinds of benefits, the government can step in and help these women. And so what we've essentially done is provided a provision of our tax plan where you get to deduct your child care expenses, just like you can deduct your charitable expenses, your mortgage interest, and so on. And we think this is a good way to do it. And just one other quick thing about the plan, Tom, that I think a lot of people don't realize, is that we're also providing a benefit for stay-at-home moms. So we didn't want to discriminate against women who make the decision of staying at home and taking care of their kids. So they will get effectively a benefit that's relative to the value of the child care they're providing to their
What's the benefit? How do they get it? What is it, Steve?
It will be roughly, you know, it will impute a value of what value there is to the woman who stays at home and provides the child care versus hiring someone to do it for you.
But a tax deduction is also a cost. I mean, it's a cost to the budget,
to the
federal
government
deficit, where you've also been a hawk for a long time.
As Donald Trump said yesterday, the plan is fully paid for. We're going to have spending cuts in our plan. We're going to have, we think that the tax plan is going to grow the economy by another 1 or 2 percentage points. So you get a lot of additional revenue when you grow the economy and put people back to work. And so it's a very viable plan. And we've been finding women, you know, we've talked to women about this, so working women and women with children who stay at home, and they love the plan. They say it's about time that we have this kind of policy in place.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about child care and the 2016 presidential race. Hillary Clinton has always said it takes a village. Now, Donald Trump says, I'll help you, too. Both candidates now saying they want the federal government to do more. Danielle Paquette is with us, reporter for The Washington Post, who's been covering all of this. Stephen Moore is with us, economic advisor to Donald Trump. He's out of the Club of Growth now at the Heritage Foundation. Carmel Martin is with us, executive VP for policy at the Center for American Progress. You can join us as well. What do you think of the candidates' plans? How are we going to pay for this? Are Republicans going to pay for Donald Trump's plan? Can he really squeeze this out of unemployment insurance? Are Democrats going to pay for Hillary's plan, 12 weeks leave for moms and dads? Lots of response online here. Jennifer says, I'm right now trying to find affordable daycare for my five-month-old. I'm listening to NPR as I'm sitting in my car waiting on my father to pick my son up this morning. I work full-time, so does my husband. It's difficult to find daycare that's reliable and not half of my paycheck. Kent asks on Facebook, says, Ivanka doesn't seem like a bad person, but what Trump has ever had to change a diaper for themselves? Well, sure, they got a lot of money, but here she was next to her dad last night in outside Philly saying Donald Trump's going to change this situation.
This is not a woman's issue. It's a family issue. It's an American issue. It's an issue that's often been discussed but has yet to be solved. My father plans to change that.
Steve Moore, Carmel Martin, Danielle Paquette, stand by. Jennifer in Andrews, South Carolina. Jennifer, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I work full-time. My husband works full-time. And I have interviewed several people for private child care because I cannot afford daycare at the church down from my house because it's literally across the top a third of my paycheck. And I've got a bachelor's. I've always worked. I've been at this position for years.
Yeah.
And I need help. And I'm not a person to ask for help, but it's I'm struggling right now. Do I stay working full time? Because after I pay, like the previous caller, after I pay insurance for myself and my son, and this is my only child.
Mm-hmm.
And after that and child care and the gas, and child care does not pay. They don't give snacks. They don't give milk. They don't, you provide everything.
Wow, really cut, pared down.
I have very little.
Jennifer, where do you guys fall income-wise? Family, are you in the, I don't know, 50,000 range when you put it together, below, above?
No, we're approximately 130,000.
And it's still that tough for you?
It's very tough. Mortgage, the student loans, it's unbelievable.
All right. Well, let us look at it. Steve Moore, jump in here. There's Jennifer. You hear her situation, both working full-time, like $130,000. Make the case for Donald Trump's plan as compared to Hillary Clinton's in her case. And, Carmel, I'll come to you as well in a moment. Steve?
I mean, the single most important thing we can do for a family like this is to grow the economy. We've got, you know, anemic growth. We've hardly had any recovery from this horrid recession. The average American, what the Census Bureau told us yesterday, was the average American family, like this woman's family, has less income today than they had 15 years ago. So until we get this economy moving, these kinds of hardships are going to get worse, not better.
But she's got double the median family income here, so she's not doing too badly comparatively.
Well, but you know, if you've got high expenses, like she said, student debt, so on, even $130,000 income. And by the way, that's a lot more than the average family income in the United States. So think about how hard this is for families that are only making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 if this family is having a hard time with $130,000. But our plan will help this woman and her family because she will be able to deduct the child care expenses. Now, we limit it, Tom, to the average in the area. So, you know, if you want kind of Cadillac child care coverage, you're not going to get to be able to deduct all of that.
But doesn't sound like Cadillac she's got there. They don't even give snacks at the child care. Wow, I never heard of that.
Well, I just mean we want people to find, child care that is affordable,
yeah,
affordable,
yeah,
for everyone.
Carmel,
yeah.
Look at this at Jennifer's situation, $130,000 household income. She's still struggling, even at that income, more than double the median. Compare Trump and Clinton plans and her situation, Carmel.
Well, Hillary Clinton would make child care affordable for her family versus Donald Trump's plan would give a modest tax deduction to her family. So, you know, by setting up the program so it's capped at 10% of a person's a family's income means that the it's a manageable amount that they can afford. And that's the difference between being able to do it and not being able to do it. And under Donald Trump's plan, which is not paid for, by the way, it's paid for based on this premise that by giving high wealth individuals tax cuts that it'll come back in the economy. But Hillary Clinton is paying for the plan by taking closing loopholes and taking money away from high wealth families on Wall Street to be able to funnel it back into middle class families like the callers. And we need the middle class. They're the ones who are going to fuel the economy. So being able to make child care manageable for them, enable them to stay in their jobs, is something that's going to be paid back multiple fold in terms of our long-term economic health.
Hey, Steve, Hillary Clinton would give 12 weeks and she'd give it to fathers and mothers. Donald Trump is 6 weeks and just for the moms. Why just for the moms? A lot of dads are taking a significant role in child care these days.
Well, because still traditionally 90% of the home makers are women. But the other point,
what do you mean by homemaker there? I mean
the person who's taking care of the child
is, but they're both working is the premise usually here in working families, so I don't know who the homemaker is when everybody's working.
Because traditionally the woman has been the giver of care to the child, not the husband, the father. But the bigger point, I think, is one of the big problems with Hillary's plan is, you know, look, I have a stay-at-home mother, right? We don't benefit whatsoever from Hillary's plan. And yet, let's face it, a lot of people listening to this show are stay-at-home moms. And why? And the two-income couples make a lot more money than one-income couple. So why should we have to pay more taxes to pay for people who are you know, two-income couples that make more money when we're making a financial sacrifice for my wife, as so many millions of other women do, to take care of their own kids? And there's nothing in the Hillary plan for families like us.
Danielle Paquette, what do you think of this notion of traditional homemakers being the target for the leave, the maternity leave, as Steve Moore puts it? And then what about stay-at-home parents, Danielle?
So I think it's hard to say that 90% of stay-at-home parents are mothers when the more recent numbers I've looked at, I mean, Pew puts 40% of breadwinners in the United States are women. Mm-hmm. And their household depends on their income. That number was only 10% in the 70s. So what we see really is just women surging into the workforce, supporting their families. They oftentimes can't afford to take the time off. And they certainly, they tell me at least almost on a daily basis that they would need a lot more money to be able to justify stepping out of work, and they're having trouble paying for daycare.
You know, Steve Moore says grow the economy, and of course that produces more jobs if you do, and that will help fix this. But that is a mantra we've heard for a long, long time now, and still Americans are struggling with this child care challenge. How do you look at that as a substantial part of the solution to this challenge, Danielle?
Well, economic growth happens gradually, and like the caller said today, their problems seem pretty urgent. The extra cash under the Trump plan would certainly help some struggling parents, but they'd have to wait until tax time to get any of that assistance.
Yeah. Josh in Montgomery, Alabama. Josh, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
So I've enjoyed hearing all the different viewpoints on the plans and the details, but I keep going back to a simple thing, and I hope it's not too simplistic, but I guess my thought is, you know, children are an economic choice that we, you know, my wife and I made, and just like any other economic choice, you may have to sacrifice if it's worth it to you. And we've done that, and we haven't asked anybody to help offset the cost of her staying home full-time, and it's worked out for us. I think that if more people thought about it as an economic choice, I think we'd have people that go into marriage or go into relationships with a mindset of, hey, we want one day to have kids and be able to afford it. Maybe we shouldn't get this new car. Maybe we shouldn't buy a house that's bigger than what we need. Anyway, that's my experience, and I think it's a little bit silly that we should expect other people to take care of the ramifications of our economic choices, this one being whether or not to have one, two, three. I mean, we have five children, I work. I don't bring home a lot of money, mm-hmm. but we've made choices accordingly so that we can have children. And the thing is, children are worth it. They're worth the sacrifice. They're worth my wife staying home and not having a career that might fulfill her in a different way.
Right.
But that's just the choice that we made, and I feel like it was a responsible one, and I'm not asking anybody to help, subsidize or offset. I definitely don't want it to impact the economy on a national scale for our family choices.
Understood. Josh, stand by. Steve Moore, I can hear Josh kind of singing a song that I think you would respond to here, but Carmel Martin, how do you respond to Josh? He says, if you want kids, save and build your family budget accordingly. He's got only one worker in the family and five kids, and he's making it work.
Well, first of all, respect.
Steve, I'll come to you in 1 second, Steve. Carmel, I'll get you, Steve. Carmel, what do you say?
Well, I would say I absolutely respect any parent's decision to stay home with their children, but for many, 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 many American families, it's not a choice that they can make. They can't afford to stay home. 65% of children under six have both parents in the workforce, which means working parents are forced to make impossible choices between their paycheck and giving their kids a strong start. And they can't. Single parents who have to work, they have no choice but to work. But also, two-couple parents, households who feel like they need to work. And child care is just too much. As others have noted, center-based child care costs nearly 30% of income, in some jurisdictions as high as 50% of income, or $18,000 a year. And for the average family, that's more than their rent. So as Donald Trump pointed out himself, and we need to give them the ability to balance those costs, because they want to stay in the workforce, and we need them to stay in the workforce often to help us keep the economy strong. So it's a good investment. I'd also just comment that the idea that traditional homemakers are women, it just really shows how out of touch the Trump camp is in terms of what modern families look like. I mean, it's just not the makeup of the modern family anymore.
Steve Moore, you heard Josh calling us there from Alabama, and he says, look, we've done it with five kids, but as Carmel points out, a lot of families don't have big incomes, and without two workers, it just can't make ends meet, and not because they have fancy houses.
Well, I really love what Josh said. I think there's a lot of truth to what he's saying, that a lot of this comes down to personal responsibility and having kids that you can afford to have. We know, by the way, the single best way to reduce poverty in America, bar none, by a mile, the most important thing to reduce poverty is to have couples, women, wait till they get married before they have kids. I mean, is the best parenthood and fathers are the best anti-poverty program. Now, look, I don't believe in Hillary's idea that it takes a village to to raise a child. No, your children are primarily your own responsibility, not society's responsibility. And we do have programs, obviously, to help families with kids, but primarily, the people who are going to take care of the kids are going to be the parents themselves.
If it's your responsibility and nobody else's, why is Donald Trump wading into this, Steve? Is it just to get the women's vote that he needs to put him over the top in Pennsylvania? Steve?
Sorry, I couldn't quite hear what you just said.
I mean, if it's really just the family's responsibility, then why is candidate Trump wading into this?
Oh. Because we want reasonable help, for families, because this discussion has shown that families are really struggling with these expenses. So we do want to help them. But I'm just saying, look, families have to also have the incomes to be able to provide for their kids. And then that's a matter of individual responsibility as well. And the idea that all of the child-rearing costs are going to be borne by society and not the parents, I think, is the wrong way to go. And by the way, I am a little bit insulted by this idea that families, that, people like myself, and there are millions of people listening to the show who are traditional families with the husband working and the mother taking care of the kids, and more women say they want to do that. Why does Hillary Clinton want to discriminate against such women? Because the most important job that a woman will ever have, the vast majority of women, is to bring up their own children.
I mean, I don't think you have to be insulted. It's not insulting anybody to say that in many, many families, women are working, and in many, many families, men are sharing in the child care. I mean, that's just a fact. Danielle, you're listening to all this. I wonder about the paying for this. I mean, you've got other proposals out there. Jill Stein says child care free for all parents, Green Party. Gary Johnson, mm-hmm. Vouchers for church child care. If it's Hillary or Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, if one of them is president, Do you see this getting through Congress, or is this another one of those talking shop things, Danielle, that in the end we end up right where we began?
Well, like any big change, it'll be tough. I can see the incremental, smaller pieces happening a little bit more easily. Donald Trump, for example, on the campaign trail said that he would like to find ways to incentivize businesses to provide on-site childcare. I'd heard that before. He, of course, has not done that through his own business. Hillary Clinton might have more luck passing the smaller components of her plan, which is opening a little more federal money to boost the wages of childcare workers. She also said she wants to increase investments into early Head Start and other early childhood programs.
So, hey, Steve, are your conservative friends going to line up behind Donald Trump's plans here? You know, they do have costs attached.
You know, some of them have resisted this because some of the more conservative, you know, people are saying, look, that this really isn't the government's role. But I think, look, as the discussion has really very validly shown that this is a bigger and bigger problem for women. And we do want to help women in a very reasonable way. And we think we've done it in a way that's fair to working women and stay-at-home moms. And so, you know, this is coming, right? One way or the other, it's coming whether Hillary or Obama wins. We think we have a more cost-effective plan. But you know, I salute women who have kids and are working 40 hours a week. I don't know how they do it.
Steve Moore, with economic advisor to Donald Trump out of the Heritage Foundation. Colonel Martin, he's really sticking with the women front on this. There's some dads out there, too, don't you think?
Absolutely. And also, you know, this he needs to give more than lip service to women. He needs to help the women who need the help the most.
Americans are going to be sitting back, looking at these plans, putting in the context of the whole campaigns and making a big decision in not so many days now. I want to thank all three of you for being with us. Steve Moore, Carmel Martin at the Center for American Progress, Danielle Paquette at The Washington Post. Thanks to you all. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.